It's good to be here this evening to worship God again. We're going to look this evening at the book of Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles in the other on the Old Testament, in Second Chronicles 34. And Second Chronicles 34, beginning at verse 1, says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, and the wooden images and the carved images and the molten images. And he broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and in the incense altars which were above them he cut down, and the wooden images he cut, and the carved images, and the molded images which he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with the axes. And when he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, and had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah and Maasah, the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Jehoahaz the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now, when we look at Josiah, of course, was the great grandson of King Hezekiah, who was the next to the last good king of Judah, and he had accomplished. Hezekiah had accomplished almost the same thing that Josiah did, but not quite as much. He was a good king, although in some ways he fell short of the completion of his duties as the king. And so he was a very good king, but he passed that off to Manasseh, his son, and then Amon, the son, his grandson. Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, in verse 9, it's kind of an overview of the reign of Manasseh, which was 55 years. And he says there, "So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the kingdom of Israel." So they had gone full circle in destroying the people that God gave into their hands when they entered the promised land. It says Manasseh had gone so far away from God that they were worse than the people that God had driven out when he sent the Israelites into the land of Canaan originally. So that was Manasseh. Well, read on down 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 21. It says, Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. And Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made and served. And he did not humble himself before the Lord as his father Manasseh had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more. Then his servants conspired against him and killed him in his own house. So I think God probably had something to do with that. And Amon was going the very same way as his father Manasseh had gone. He was leading the people not only astray, but far away from God. And so two of his servants came in, conspired against him, and killed him in his own palace. Well, they had restored idol worship to Judah. They had led the people away from God. And so Josiah came along, and he was totally the opposite. He was a godly man. He was the writer of 2 Chronicles says, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So David, he was a descendant of David, of course. And so Even in his youth, he showed a righteousness which his father and his grandfather had not had. And the blessings that were brought upon Israel because of him, God was going to destroy the kingdom of Judah. And yet, because he said later to Josiah, because you have been faithful to me and you have done what I commanded you and you tore down the idols and all of these things, he says, I'm still going to destroy your kingdom, but it's going to be well after you have already died. And so God gave him that. But Josiah displayed a righteousness by seeking God as a youth. And the Bible says in verse 3 there, for in the eighth year of his reign, he was 8 years old when he became king. So in the eighth year, he had been 16 years old. And no doubt he was sincere and he was prayerful before this time. And he desired to know the will of God. And he decided he was going to take his people back towards God and to God's way. There are many other examples of young people in the Bible that followed the will of God. You think of Joseph. He was about 17 years old when his brothers sold him in to go into slavery in Egypt. And because of his faith and his dedication to God, for about 17 more years, he was either a slave in Egypt or he was in prison himself. And because God was with him, because he was faithful, he became eventually the second ruler of the kingdom of Egypt. Because God was with him and he was faithful. You think of Ruth, the young widow, the Moabite woman, and she left her homeland to serve the true God and left all of her family. In Ruth chapter 1, Ruth chapter 1, verse 15, when Naomi, her mother-in-law, told her and her sister to go on back to their land of Moab and remarry there, Ruth refused. Her sister-in-law went back, but Ruth refused to go back. And this is what she said in Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following with you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and even more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So Ruth followed her mother-in-law, gave up her homeland, gave up her family, gave up the idol gods that they worshiped, and came and worshiped the true God. You read the book of Ruth, and right at the end, you find out that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. And so she led a faithful life before God. Think of Samuel, who became one of the great prophets of his time and was the last judge of the people of Israel. And he was consecrated by his mother to the work of God at a very young age. And you read of that in 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 3. Think of David. He was a strong young man, and he volunteered to go and fight Goliath the giant. And later he became the king of Israel. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, and the repeat of the message of the Old Testament, God had said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall do all of my will. So that's the kind of people we're talking about here when we talk about Josiah. Think of Timothy in the New Testament, who at a fairly young age became a follower and a traveler with the Apostle Paul and with Silas and others. And what a great man he became. And in fact, Paul turned over most of his work to Timothy when he knew he was going to die. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says of Timothy, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul had said to him, having been reminded of your unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. There is a young man that had been taught the word of God by his grandmother and by his mother, was raised in that way and became one of the great men of his time. But all of these are great examples of faithful and determined young people who made a decision early in life to serve God. And regardless of our age, whatever age we may be in life, there's never a time when we need to wait till later to serve God. In Proverbs 8 and verse 17, it says, "Those that seek me early shall find me." In other words, God wants us at an earliest age we can. And again, it doesn't make any difference what age it is if we're willing to turn our life over to God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." That was Solomon's advice to his son in the writing of the book of Ecclesiastes. But in the administration of his kingdom, Josiah showed an early commitment to righteousness. And it says in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. You might wonder, well, he had been king since he was 8 years old. Now he'd be 20 years old. Why did he wait that long? Well, the reason was because under the rules usually of the kingdom, he did not become king in his own right until he became 20 years old. And so he was under regents who did not fully take care of the things that he wanted. But when he became king in his own right, under his own authority, that's what he did. He purged the temple of its uncleanness. And the long reign of Manasseh, his grandfather, which was 55 years, and then the two-year reign of his father Amon, the temple was desecrated. It was not used. It was falling into ruins. It was needed to be. It was totally neglected, and part of it had fallen down, and it needed to be brought up again and rebuilt. And so the priests did not offer the sacrifices during that time. The teachers did not teach the law, and for at least 57 years, and then 12 years into the reign of Josiah, the temple and everything surrounded it, the law itself, was completely neglected by the people of Israel. They turned to false gods and idols and everything else. But because of what Josiah did, the temple was renovated and reestablished. The worship and service to God, the sacrifices and everything. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning at verse 14, it says, "Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the word and all was committed to the servants for that they are doing. And they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it before the king. And thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, 'Go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord and do not according to all that is written in the book.'" Well, that was the attitude of Josiah, totally different from his father and his grandfather. When he heard the book of the law read to him, he tore his clothes as a sign of sorrow and repentance. He realized if God was going to bless Israel anymore, that they were going to have to turn from idolatry and turn back to worshiping him. So he went out and he cleansed the temple. He restored it. He brought builders in to rebuild the parts that had fallen down and to refurbish it with gold and silver inside and all the things that was done. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves as God's people and the church which we are a part of, that we need to hold on and go back to the message of God's Word in the New Testament for us and follow it and take it as the guide in our lives every day. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and incidentally, Jeremiah lived during the time of Josiah. In fact, he was one of the ones that was an advisor to King Josiah. In Jeremiah 6:16, he said, "Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls." No doubt, Jeremiah had said that to Josiah himself, because that is precisely what he did. But many of the problems in Israel was because there was no one in the position of authority, whether it was the priest, the high priest, the king, or whoever would turn back to God and bring the people back to them. It took people like Jeremiah the prophet and ultimately a king like Josiah to turn their nation back to righteousness. Josiah cleansed the land. The Bible says he uprooted and destroyed the altars of Baal. He broke down the images and ground them into dust. And it says, not only that, the ultimate insult that Josiah gave to the prophets and priests of Baal and the other idols was he scattered the dust of their idols and their worship on top of their graves after they had died. That was considered the ultimate insult to someone that had already lived, to desecrate their graves, and he did that. And so we look around us today, and he broke down the images and ground them into dust, and we need as a people to be the people of God to turn back to righteousness and faith and everything else, because we in Christ are the ones that are supposed to lead the way as an example for those who are around us. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul there describes the sins of the Gentile nations that were going on not only in his time but even before. But in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, he says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, men also, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, and to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteousness of God, or the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those things which they practice." You read that, and there's not much gray area there. God explains through the Apostle Paul what he thinks of the sin of the world around Paul in that day, and it's still here today around us. But we have to set the example. We have to choose, as Josiah did in his day, to turn to righteousness and the ways of God. An idol, of course, is a thing that can be in our lives every day. It doesn't have to be something carved out and we bow down before it, but becomes whatever we think is most important in our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God says through the Apostle Paul, "Where is the wisdom of the wise? Where is all of these things that people think are so important? God has made of them of no effect or no importance at all." The first thing, of course, is to serve God and to follow him. That's what Josiah tried to do. And we have to follow the example that he and others have done in times past, to turn away from the ways of the world and turn unto God's will. Josiah also displayed an undeviating consistency. He didn't waver back and forth. When he made a decision on this, it was full steam ahead. It was all the way. It was total. It says he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. In other words, he was looking straight toward God and his will, and he was not going to go one extra way or the other. He was not satisfied with just outlawing idolatry. Other kings had done that, but they didn't hold on to it. He outlawed idolatry. He destroyed the idols. And he didn't just destroy them, he ground them into powder. He turned the people back to worshiping the true God. It says he began to seek the Lord, and he continued those things throughout his life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Josiah exemplified diligence in seeking God. Despite the resistance and pressure that no doubt came from all around him, from these people who just kind of wanted to go along with what was going on and leave everything the same and not to disturb anybody, he spent his life seeking God and setting things right in his kingdom. And again, there are probably some who said, well, we need to slow down on this a little bit. But he didn't. He was all the way. He didn't care about what other people thought. He wanted to do what God said. And he was determined. And we need to follow Josiah's example. The Bible says he began to seek the Lord at an early age. And Isaiah 55 and verse 6, Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. In other words, we have to begin when God has given us a time. The time we have is right now. Every day we live, we don't have a promise of even really another day of life. And we all understand that in our heart, our mind, but sometimes we realize that that's really true. We don't have another day promised to us. Probably it will come because many more have come before, but we don't have that promise. We have to prepare every day we live. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Our faith needs to be bolstered by our study of God's word, and that's what Josiah did. When they found the book of the law, he was 20 years old. As far as we know, he had never heard the book of the law read. They didn't even know where it was. It was hidden in part of the rubble of the temple. And somehow they found it and read it. And he commanded it be read to all the people and its message be taught to them. And we have to begin while we have an opportunity to fulfill that. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, if we love God, we're going to do what he says. Well, we're going to look for a moment at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul in 1 and 2 Timothy gives his last messages to Timothy for him to be able to be strengthened and encouraged and built up to take over the work that Paul had begun as an apostle. And he said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, he says, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give heed to reading and exhortation and teaching. He says, don't let anybody despise the fact that you're a youth. He says, but set an example for them in word and manner of life, in love and faith and purity. He says, also, till I come, see you again. And Paul would come later on and after 1 Timothy. He says, give diligence to in your studying, your teaching, and your exhortation. In other words, the work that I have given you to do. He says, then be diligent in these things. Give yourselves wholly to them. Well, that's what Josiah did. When he heard the law of God, he gave himself completely and wholly to that. And so then he says, that their progress may be manifest to all. Take heed to yourselves and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing so, this you shall save yourself and those that hear you. In other words, you hold on to what I have told you. In 2 Timothy, Paul also told him to preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, hold on, be faithful all the way to the end, and never give up. Well, that's exactly the kind of advice we need sometimes. And sometimes our faith maybe wavers a little bit, and we realize we have not lived up to what we should be. But God is there for us if we'll turn our way to Him and be faithful to Him and follow Him. We cannot turn our back on God and then hope somehow at the judgment day that somehow God will overlook that and we'll kind of skate through, if you will, into heaven. We have to serve God to the end, every day we live. Yes, we're going to fall short. Yes, we'll not live up to what we ought to be on a lot of occasions. But by God's grace and mercy, if we put forth the effort, He will forgive. Seeking God early in life is a great thing. When a young person makes that decision, he or she has got all of their life in front of them to serve God and be faithful. Josiah is a good example of that. And we should be willing to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 says, "Now these things are our examples." Paul is talking about the faithful in Israel and the unfaithful and what God did to them. But the faithful He rewarded and blessed. Regardless of what age we may be, the call of Christ is for us every day of life. There's no day that we have in this life that God doesn't call us to Himself. In Revelation 2, in verse 10, the Bible says there, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Unto death means until the time that we die. But it also means unto the point of death. If we are called upon to give our life for the cause of Christ, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, there is waiting for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all who love His appearing. Josiah was the last good king of Judah. Because of him, the kingdom was preserved for about another 30 years before finally they got so bad and so far away that you would think that Josiah's example would have an effect upon his sons who also became king. But it didn't. They turned away from God just like their grandfather and their great-grandfather had done. Instead of following the example of Josiah, the kingdom of Judah might never have been destroyed if they had been faithful to God like Josiah was, but they weren't. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." In other words, every day we live is an opportunity to live and to study and learn and serve God. But we have to make that decision. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, "There now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." And that's for us tonight. It's for us every day we live. Tonight, if there is a need in your life, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come to us together? We stand as we sing.